All right, I did that. See how I'm doing my job? Are we really ready for NTI Luke 24? Is that what you guys have? Oh, wow. I was remembering differently. Very cool. So NTI Luke 24, in my Kindle, that's on page 183. What do you guys have? 184 if you have a paperback book. All right, NTI Luke chapter 24. I have promised you that if you give me your faith and willingness, that's Dave's favorite thing and my favorite thing. He wants them both now. I have promised you that if you give me your faith and willingness, listen to me and do as I say, I will give to you an experience that you did not expect. This is important. It is important that you give me all that is in your mind for healing, that it may be healed. What you do not give to me cannot be healed, and what is not healed will block the experience that I give. So this morning when I was doing my own writing with the seven steps, the image, both this morning and yesterday morning, an image that kept coming to me was the inside of a little one-room log cabin. Outside, you know, the sun was shining just brightly, you know, as can be, but inside the cabin it was very dark. And the reason it was very dark is because there was like this thick pieces of quilt hanging in the windows, and so like no light could get through whatsoever. And of course the thick quilt represented the mind. And you know, in order to let the light in, you have to take the quilt down, right? You have to. So that's basically what this is saying, but what this is saying is that quilt won't come down if there are certain parts of our belief system, certain parts of our thinking that we refuse to turn over. You know, like I was commenting to Danielle on the way here how it's interesting how many people that are on the same spiritual path that we are on are very interested in politics. You know, right now, since it's a presidential election year, you see lots of political statements, you know, coming up. And you can see that people are very attached to their political opinions, very attached. And there's a belief behind it that if I give up my political opinions, something's going to go wrong in the world. You know, like, this is something I have to keep. I have to keep this to make the world okay. Well, that's basically a piece of quilt that you're refusing to take down from the window. And so that's what Spirit is saying here, is you have to find everything, every one of your thoughts, your opinions, your beliefs, your points of view, and you have to be willing to take them down. If you aren't willing to take them down, that sunlight can't come streaming in. Because it's not that the sunlight's not there, because it's there. But you're blocking it. So the next paragraph. Search your mind for all of these things. And when you find them, give them to me quickly without any attachment to the thoughts you have found. So now he's going to teach us how to take that quilt down off the windows. Search your mind for doubt, all manner of fear, hatred, anger, grievance, guilt, unworthiness, helplessness, loneliness, depression, striving, hope, and longings. So these are the patches in the quilt. Patches in the quilt. So first of all, out of this list, is there anything that jumps out at anybody that they'd like to talk about or comment on?
Hope is an interesting
one. Hope.
Yeah.
You want me to talk about it? Yeah, okay, that's true. And I think with the fans and stuff, it's even harder to hear you guys. I could stand up and walk over to you if you have something important to say. I don't mind doing that. But there is a point where hope is helpful. And in fact, if you look at NTI Matthew, which comes before NTI Luke, at that point, hope is being listed as something that you can hold on to, something that's helpful to hold on to. But hope is actually somewhat limited in its helpfulness. It can be helpful in the very beginning. But at some point, hope has to be surrendered, because hope keeps seeing and clarity and happiness always out in the future. Hope is a future. I hope someday You know, and so at some point hope has to be surrendered, because if you keep the hope out there, then it never arrives right now. It's more like, instead of hoping for happiness, you have to learn to choose happiness. Instead of hoping that your mind will be healed, you have to learn to choose to let your mind be healed now. So the hope needs to be let go. Is that clear? Anything else or you guys want to talk about?
Well, helplessness kind of jumped out when we just, you know, talked a little earlier about caretaking, and sometimes I just feel so helpless because it's over and over the same thing. But at the same time, I think helplessness helps me to let go and surrender and just accept what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to repeat a little bit of what you said just in case it wasn't heard well on the recording. And if I say something wrong, correct me. But what I heard was that because of the caretaking of your mother and doing the same things over and over, and you didn't say this, but I think not having the freedom to go where you want, when you want, right? there's a feeling sometimes of helplessness, and sometimes that gets to you a little bit. But then it sounded like the right-minded interpretation of that is when the helplessness shows up, that's a time to surrender. Time to turn things over and to accept things as they are. Yeah. And helplessness is definitely the belief, I'm the victim of the world. And we're not the victims of the world. In fact, even in the caretaking of your mother, you actually said that was a choice you made. You didn't want to put her in a nursing home. So we're not the victim of the world. You know, we make these choices. We make choices both at the human level, and then from what we understand, but maybe can't comprehend as well, we've also made choices at the metaphysical level. But we're not the victim of the world, and helplessness is just a thought that then takes the current situation that is and makes us suffer in it. When if we can learn to let go of the thought of helplessness, ask Holy Spirit for another way to see the same situation, it could be that the situation does not change at all, But that feeling of victim goes away, and instead we see the joy in it, the value in it, you know, the lessons in it to help us awaken. All the gifts come when we let go of the feeling of helplessness. Also, the interesting thing about helplessness is, or victimhood, is that if we go deep into it, more and more things will start feeling like we're the victim of. We could become the victim of the fact that the husband always has the remote and I never get to pick my TV shows. We can be the victim of the weather. It's too hot all the time. You know, we can be the victim of, and that can just expand and expand till pretty soon life has almost no joy in it because I'm the victim of everything. So helplessness is a big piece of quilt. It's a big piece of quilt that can block out the light. So, and it's never true. It's never true. And that's what we need to see. We need to start noticing what our choices are. We need to start noticing that everything we are doing, we are choosing. You know, people will often hate their jobs. They'll feel helpless in their job. But there isn't anybody that didn't walk into that job and apply for it. You know, so helplessness is just not noticing that I am making these choices. For some reason, I need to be here. I want to be here. You know, I put myself here. And then, like you said, surrendering to it, accepting what is, looking for the gifts, asking for the gifts. I think another one that maybe is tough is, you know, like, in fact, probably Susie could talk about this one really well because she had the experience. You know, she married a man that she was madly in love with, and then he got sick. And I would imagine, did you feel helpless when he was dying? And how did that work? How did you deal with that? Yeah, surrender is the answer again.
There was nothing you can do. You know, we both realized there's nothing that we can do.
Yes.
So just
surrender to it. Yeah, so surrender is probably a good answer for the feeling of helplessness. Striving is another interesting one. Striving is interesting because to a point, it's helpful for striving to happen. And to a point, at another point, striving becomes a piece of the quilt. And it's learning to find that balance of when you've crossed that line. And, you know, there's something in me, I don't know how to describe it, but there's something in me that always knows when the striving is helpful and when the striving is not. And maybe sometimes, it's maybe the best way to word it is, I think sometimes the striving comes from a sense of lack in me. You know, so it's like I need to strive to, you know, even striving for enlightenment can come from a sense of lack. And so whenever it's coming from that sense of lack, then it's not helpful, because it's actually reinforcing the belief in lack, the belief in unworthiness, the belief that you're not good enough. But there is another striving that's helpful. It's when that striving is coming from a positive energy of knowing something needs to be done, that a little bit of effort needs to be put into it. You know, like changing your thoughts, for example. If you never put any effort into noticing judgments and starting to rest your mind when the judgments happen, the judgments are just going to keep happening, because it's a cycle. It's an addictive cycle. So there's a little bit of effort that needs to go into that. But there also comes a point maybe when you might even realize you're putting too much effort into it. Like you need, you know, it's true you need to see the judgment, but you can't force the judgment out of your head. That would be too much effort. So you see the judgment, you give your willingness for the judgment to disappear, or you choose, you know, to rest your mind when the judgment shows up, but then you've done all you can, right? So knowing when the striving is crossing that line from what is really helpful into a sense of creating a burden, that's really important to just find within yourself. When is it helpful? When is it removing a burden, and when is it creating a burden? That's probably the good question to ask about the striving. All right, let's go on then to the next paragraph. Each thought that is not of peace and joy in the present moment can be given to me, and each one can be healed in order to bring the unexpected recognition of life into your mind. So that's another way of defining the criteria. If you can't remember that long list that we saw in sentence 6, well, then just realize, if it's not peace and joy in the present moment, well, then it's a thought that can be turned over to Holy Spirit for healing. And whenever you're in acceptance, I think there's a peace there, right? So if you're accepting what is right now, there's a peace that comes. Okay, be like Peter. Peter in the Bible often has doubts. And right now we're at the end of the Bible, of Luke. So what happened here is Jesus was resurrected. Mary Magdalene and a couple other ladies, I think, were the first ones to see him. They ran back and told Peter and the apostles. And Peter's first reaction was, that's pretty hard to believe. But as he listened to the ladies, he decided to put his doubts aside. He decided to say, okay, maybe this is possible. Maybe he has been resurrected, you know, and wait to find out for himself. So that's why he's saying, be like Peter. Be like Peter. Put your doubts aside. Let not your fears hold you back from the desiring the truth of love beyond your seeming reason. Come and look with me. Continue to trust me and to seek that which I offer. So for most people, maybe not everyone, when it comes to putting aside our thinking, our belief system, what we've always been taught, there's a time when doubt rises up. Like, is this really reasonable? Is it really reasonable to put aside this thinking, you know, that my mother thought, my grandmother thought, my great-grandmother thought, you know, it's kept everybody safe. Is it really reasonable to put aside this thinking? And if you imagine Peter, I mean, can you imagine him standing there saying, wow, is it really reasonable that somebody would have been raised from the dead? You know, so, and he's asking us to be like Peter, right? So it's actually a pretty strong demonstration. So it is true that our thoughts, our thinking, our belief, our points of view, our opinions, right? These are the quilts that's hanging on the window that's keeping the light from streaming in. And we really only have two choices. Let the quilt keep hanging there or take it down. And when we take it down, there is a sense sometimes that comes up that you're letting go of everything that has kept you safe. There is a sense sometimes that you're letting go of yourself, right? Who you are. You know, that thought may come into the mind, what about me? What about me? What about me? But this is why he's using such a strong symbol and saying, put your doubts aside. Because we've got to take that quilt down. If we don't take that quilt down, the light doesn't come in. It's that simple. And the quilt is our thinking. That's the quilt. Verses 13 to 35. The sickness that is in your mind is a sickness of belief based on a sickness of desire. This sickness is not sinful, but it is blinding. It is not sinful because the sickness has done nothing, right? The light is still shining. What has done nothing cannot be a sin. It has done nothing because all that is true remains true even until this moment. But the sickness is blinding. If you use the analogy of the quilt, you can see why. Because it keeps you focused on itself through your own desire. As you focus on the sickness, you see only what sickness has taught you to see. This means that you do not see truth, even though it is present and before you now. So the desire would be that desire to have, you could say at this point, a self-will, or to have a self, or to have my point of view, or to have my opinion, to see the way I want to see. That's the main desire. And it is actually a pretty strong desire, and you will probably find times when it seems very difficult to give up your point of view, your belief, your opinion. But it really just comes down to, what do you want more? Do you want to hold on to your belief, your opinion, or do you really want to see the light, know the truth? And at least in my experience, that's the only question that sometimes allowed me to go ahead and make that decision and let go of my point of view, was knowing that I actually want to see the light more. In fact, just this morning or yesterday morning in my journal, I remember writing in my Seven Steps journal something about, what is it that I'm thinking about? Because obviously there's still thinking going on here. I still have quilts hanging on my windows too. They may have some shreds in them, so some light's coming through, but there's still quilts hanging there. So what is it that I am thinking? You know, I reminded myself I actually need to go back to that exercise that I practiced many years ago. Maybe I need to keep a little pad again and catch myself when I'm thinking and write it down. Take another look. Maybe it's time to start looking at, what am I thinking about what I'm thinking? But then the question came, now is that, what I find myself thinking about, more valuable to me than knowing truth? That's a reasonable question. And I bet, maybe I will do that. I think that sounds like fun. And I bet you I find myself thinking about a lot of stupid things that aren't near as valuable to me. So then the question is, well then why am I walking around thinking about this? You know, why am I thinking about this when I could be, you know, choosing to let those thoughts go and take that quilt down from the window? And again, this is where the striving comes back in. The truth is, I can't make those thoughts not come into my mind. That would be trying to overstrive. But what I do is I just look at them with that realization. These aren't as important to me as awakening. That's my part. But usually we're walking around thinking without looking at them with that realization, right? We're not putting even that much effort into it. So starting to notice when we're thinking, asking, is this thing that's going on up here as important to me as awakening? And say, no, it isn't. I really don't want that as much. And we've done our part, right? We've done our part. So it's the right amount of effort without trying to force thoughts not to show up, which would be the wrong effort and would only lead to frustration, a sense of failure, a sense of, I'm never going to be able to do it, right? So, sentence 9. Bow your head and check your heart's desire. Do you wish to be deceived? Do you wish to see what you have wished to see Or do you wish to see the truth? So again, it's that checking. Do I want to continue to believe my opinions, my points of view, my perception, or do I want truth? What do I really want more? When you no longer wish to see that which is not there, you shall see that which is. There is no delay between the desire to see it and the instant of sight. It shall be done in complete perfection in the moment that you want it above all that clutters your mind and your sight now. And he started all of this by saying, I have promised you that if you give me your faith and willingness, listen to me and do as I say, I will give you an experience that you did not expect. So that's what he's really asking for. He's asking us to give our faith in him that he can heal these things and give our willingness by noticing these thoughts, noticing these beliefs and saying, you know what, this isn't as important to me as knowing truth. And staying with that awareness within yourself. This is what you are to do. I love this part. Remember all that I have taught. Practice what I have taught with your every breath. Of course, that's for emphasis. Most of us do not do that, and he doesn't intend for us to feel guilty when we don't. He's really saying, put forth your best effort, right? Practice what I have taught with your every breath. Do not be distracted. Remember that the truth is not what you see, so what you see must be mistaken. Do not believe it and judge it and react to it as if it is real. Remain distant in your interactions with the world, aware that you do not know, so that you may remain open to guidance from one who does. So that's interesting. Remain distant. Now, of course, it doesn't mean physically distant. Like when Priscilla's caring for her mother, she can't be physically distant, right? But it's talking about a detached state of mind, right? A detached state of mind, not needing things to go a certain way, my way, right? Being whatever is, being in acceptance of that, and being willing to hear guidance. Maybe we should talk about the two funny guidances I received today, the little prompts. because prompts can come at any time and they can be anything. The first prompt, we were going to Sam and we were driving on a 2-lane road and there was a car over here that was doing fine. I mean, it was driving straight, the right speed. There was nothing about this car that seemed unusual. But I started getting a strong feeling that I should pay attention to that car. And I even told Danielle, I said, I have a feeling I should pay attention to that car. I said, I think that car is going to try and come over in this lane. And there was no reason to think that, but I decided to speed up and get out of the way. As soon as I was out of the way, she crossed over. So maybe I was right in her blind spot or something when I had that feeling and she was going to cross over. But I was like, oh, look, she did. She had no turn signal, nothing. Then we went into Sam's and we were shopping. And I never, ever do this. I never, when we're checking out, pay attention to the prices when they're ringing things up. I never look. But today I had this feeling to watch him. Watch him as he was scanning the prices. And Danielle and I each ordered these big boxes of coffee that are almost like $40 a piece. Well, what happened was he rang up my coffee for $40, and then there was a discussion because he didn't know the price of the broccoli. He got the code for the broccoli, rang the broccoli, then he came to the second box of coffee, rang it, but then said times two. So he charged us an extra $40. And so, but normally I would never have known because I don't watch. Right? And it is a lot. And so I just said, oh, you know, I think you rang up the coffee three times. And he's, oh, you're right, I did. And he fixed it. But what was interesting is just the openness that I was in was allowed to let me know when I needed to speed up because this lady was going to change lanes, was allowed to let me know to watch the guy ring stuff up when I normally don't. And I caught an error that I otherwise would have missed. So if we stay in an open state, it's actually amazing what our intuition can guide us on. You know, just everyday stuff. You know, we just get a feel. And it's another thing, you have to learn to trust those feels. In me, they're very subtle. Like I could so easily ignore them, especially like watching the guy. I could let ego overrule that with a guilt thought, like what, you don't trust him? And then not follow the guidance. But it wasn't about not trusting him. The guy just made an honest mistake. He got distracted, right? Came back and forgot what he was doing. So it's learning to recognize those subtle things that come when we stay in a state of openness and we aren't constantly thinking, constantly making our own decisions about what things are, right? And then that guidance comes in, and it's I think it's fun, actually. It's fun to watch. I have also learned how to recognize those intuitive prompts by sometimes missing them. And you guys, have you all heard the Dairy Queen story, or should I tell that story again? You know that story?
About where to go to eat.
Yeah, about where to go to eat. The restaurants kept being closed, and the prompt was to go to Dairy Queen, and I didn't want to take her to Dairy Queen. Finally, we found a restaurant. The food was terrible, right? Halfway through the meal, I say, oh, you know, maybe we should have gone to Dairy Queen. And she goes, I love Dairy Queen, you know. So, but that kind of a experience taught me, oh, yeah, there, I did have that feeling. I just judged it because the feeling came in to go to Dairy Queen, and then I judged it but with the thought, but you don't take a guest out to dinner to Dairy Queen, right? But so even our mistakes are blessings because they help us hone in on that intuition. The hard part, I think, about that intuition is it doesn't come with a reason. Like, it didn't say today, watch that car because she's about to change lanes and you're in her blind spot, right? Or it didn't say, watch that guy because he's going to get distracted and charge you twice for the coffee. it's just a feeling. Watch him. Watch him ring up the price. Watch this lady in this lane. Yes. You want to say something, Dave?
So, in lieu of a reason, I would take some kind of a strong feeling. But you're telling me that...
They're subtle.
So we don't get the feeling either.
Yeah, you can miss the feeling until you tune in. And that's another practice. Yeah, it's not a strong... There wasn't an overwhelming feeling to watch the lady or to watch the guy. It was just a subtle little... And I have had the experience, however, and this can happen, of when I ignored it once, it would come a few times. So I would say if you do miss it once, if you start noticing the same subtle feeling coming two or three times... You know, then maybe start paying attention to it. The Dairy Queen prompt came more than once. I still blew it off. You know, it came a couple times, and I still blew it off, so.
I had a similar one this week. Remember how you were going along with that little conversations with God?
Yes.
And then I found it. And that was book one. And then another time that I was there at the Ark, I said, would it be nice if I was to find the rest of them? And I found two letters. Well, this week, I haven't thought of it for months.
Right.
I haven't thought of that book for months, and I'm looking at the books. And I said, I think book three's in here. And it was.
And it was. Yeah.
But, you know, I hadn't thought of that book for months.
Yeah.
It just came to me.
Well, that's another important thing about prompts, because probably one of the most common ailments on the spiritual path is calling things guidance that aren't. That comes from like being really afraid of something, for example, and your mind is working, trying to come up with a solution. You finally come up with something that you think is the solution, and you say, this is my guidance. The prompt, usually you just don't have full understanding of it. If it's you, you have full understanding of how this is going to solve my problem, right? You have this whole plan. Okay, I understand how this is going to work. This is my guidance. The prompt is like, I don't quite get this. You know, because it's just it doesn't come with all the information. You know? So watch for when you have the 5-year plan, that might not be guidance. When you have it all figured out. You know, guidance tends to come one step at a time, and you don't have it all figured out. You don't understand it. So. All right. So again, if we remain distant, which means non-attached in our interactions with the world, not having strong opinions about how things should be, for example, then we remain open to guidance from one who does know. And by the way, I saw yesterday, this is the second time I saw this. The first time was at a movie at Tom and Jacqueline's house. The second time was yesterday I saw an article. I don't know if it's from the same person or not, the movie and the article, but I saw an article where scientists are starting to say that the heart has a brain of its own, right? So it's the second time I've seen that now, that they used to think that all thinking came from here, but actually there is thinking that also comes from the heart, and the thinking that comes from the heart is actually wiser. That's what we call intuition. The thinking that comes from the heart knows the lady is about to change lanes. There's no way the brain could know that. So I've seen at least a couple times that there might even be scientific, you know, physiological evidence to this. So again, it's learning to tune into that other brain, which we call Holy Spirit. Okay, so be grateful for all that is true. All that is true is this: life, love, sharing, extension, and joy. That's all that is true. Life, love, sharing, extension, and joy. These are the characteristics of God and of truth of which you are one. All that you experience must be of these, or else it is illusion made up in the mind. Do not believe that which isn't real. Have faith beyond the experience you know now, and another experience will be given in the instant that you have readied yourself for it. You ready yourself in this way: listen to all that I have said, practice it with your every breath, do not move from your practice, be clothed with the power from on high in humility and gratitude. You are blessed within the being that you are this moment. Amen. And that is the end of Luke. So stay with our practice. Learn to discern between what is true and what is not true. Do not believe what is not true, even if it's in your experience right now. Right? Even if it's in your experience right now, still have faith that it's not true. Give your willingness to see that it's not true. Don't move from those simple practices, is what he's saying. So, assignment. It seems to me like a pretty good assignment for this week would be what I said I want to do. Would be to start noticing what you're thinking about when you're thinking, and then just ask, would I rather think about this or would I rather know truth? You know, is what you're thinking about really that important? You know, so just start trying to look at that a little bit. I think that would be a good assignment for the week. And I'm going to let you guys make a choice. Typically when I do study with the scribes, and although this is more drawn out, this is kind of like a study with the scribe, I do Luke, and then I go to Acts, and from Acts I do the rest of the book, I skip John. Do you want to follow that format, or do you want to do John? Dave?
Is this a democratic vote?
Or general consensus.
Well, you had me read John for the NTI inspiration. And it does talk a lot about the light.
Yeah.
And so forth. But, and I guess this is an opinion.
That's okay.
But I think there is more substantial material in other parts of the book.
And I think that's why I skip it. I think I share your opinion. So does anybody have any objections to skipping John and going straight to Acts? All right, then that's what we'll do next week. Next week we'll start Acts chapter 1. If you want to read John on your own, you know, you can do that. But I agree that Acts is, and we're only meeting once a week and it takes a long time to get through stuff. I think we can skip John.
John's a large chapter too.
Yeah, all right, good. All right, let me turn off the recorder then and we'll go into some silence.